Jesus said, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Matthew 11:6. These are his words to the disciples of John the Baptizer, and they are also our sermon text this morning. I think it's safe to say today that people are easily, probably too easily, offended these days. So it's important to really stop and think about what is meant by this word offended, as Jesus uses it in the original Greek of Matthew 11:6. The word in Greek is skandalizo, which, as you can hear in its pronunciation, gives us the word scandal, scandalize. To be offended is to be scandalized. The literal Greek definition of scandalizo, excuse me, is to set a snare or a trap. This definition hits harder, though, than you may think just by hearing those words. It's actually a very scandalous definition. You see, the scandalizo trap is not just a tripwire or some sort of cartoon-type net that catches the bad guys up in the trees with their limbs hanging out. Hey, help us out of here. It's a lethal trap. It's the kind of trap that is set to kill whoever springs it. It's a fatal trap. One you do not walk away from. This isn't one of those humane mouse traps sold to ease the conscience of the squeamish, modern, bleeding-heart American, but the old-fashioned kind that used to be in every barn, spring-loaded kind of trap that, when triggered, snaps the spine of the mouse so that it lies dead, unsightly, eyes bulging, nerves twitching, dead. There is nothing that can soften death. We may be able to put it out of our minds, capture the little mouse, and let someone else do the killing, but death is death. It is a scandal. It is unnerving. When Jesus uses the word offended, our Lord is speaking of the trap of permanent death. Now, at this point, you may be saying, Pastor, you just got done telling those wonderful little girls that today was all about rejoicing. What are we talking about? Scandals and death and descriptive definitions of what happens to mice in the barn. That's a scandal. You should be talking about joy. You should be making us feel good inside right now. We should be rejoicing. Well, yes, but not in a cheap, fleeting way. And so I promise we will hear about the cross. We will hear about Jesus and his death on the cross, so you have true reason to rejoice today. Scandalizo can also be defined as stumbling block. That's often how it's rendered in the Greek, stumbling block. But again, we're not to think of this as a stubbing your toe, tripping on the higher edge of the sidewalk in Ferndale kind of a stumbling block. It is not a temporary falling down. It's much more scandalous than that. As in the scandal of Matthew 21:42-44, Jesus said, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? He's talking about himself. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this Jesus stone will be broken to pieces. And when it, Jesus, the stone, falls on anyone, it will crush him. The kingdom of God being taken away from someone is scandalous. Body-crushing, scandalous. We're not talking about the kind of offense that leaves someone with upset feelings. No, sir. We're not talking about being offended because someone didn't speak in a politically correct way or use your preferred pronoun. No. We're truly talking real scandal. Someone calls me a she instead of a he, I could walk away from that. Take Jesus Christ on the cross away from me, and I'm crushed. I'm done. Put a fork in me, it's over. I am offended, scandalized. Jesus, the rejection of Jesus is body crushing, broken to pieces, eternally dead. Scandalizo. No more chance to repent. This offense is used by Jesus in Matthew 11, 6 as something far worse than stumbling in the faith. This isn't, I believe in Jesus, but my old Adam got the best of me and I slipped into sin. That's what we do every day. That kind of stumbling into sin is forgiven. You can get up from that because the gospel stands. It is fixed. It is an objective truth. You are forgiven of your sins. You are saved if you want the saving. There is life for the Christian who trips over his sinfulness and falls to the ground. He believes in Jesus, and Jesus picks that sainted sinner off the ground and says, follow me again. Keep going. We got this. And he takes one more step and he falls again. And Jesus says, rejoice. I'm here to pick you up again. Come on, we got this. He takes another step and falls again. That's not scandalizo. That's called being a Christian and living in this broken world. Here, our Lord is talking about a person who doesn't believe he is the Christ. Because that was John's question, wasn't it? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Matthew 11, 3. John is behind bars, just like the picture on your cover, your bulletin. John, who leapt in the womb of his mother before he was even born, in the presence of Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, who knew his Lord. John, who pointed to him out in the wilderness when he was baptizing and said, he is greater than I. I cannot even undo his sandal. John knew Jesus. But John is now scandalized. Or perhaps is on the verge of scandal because he's in jail for Jesus. Are you the Messiah? Or have I been wrong all these years? Now, many say this is a rhetorical question, and I tend to lean into that camp. That John knows the answer. This is for our benefit, for the disciples' benefit, for everyone's benefit. But regardless, that is the meat of the question. Jesus, my life is hard right now. Are you truly the Messiah? Jesus, things didn't go the way I wanted them to. Are you truly the Messiah? Jesus, I have cancer. Are you truly the Messiah? Jesus, I can't pay my bills. Are you truly the Messiah? Jesus, are you He? Or have we been duped all these thousands of years? Jesus is saying that the person who doubts that he is the Messiah, if he lives in that doubt, if he comes to the conclusion that Jesus is not the Messiah, that person who is offended by him, scandaled by him, will be, as we read in Matthew 21, 42 to 44, crushed, dead, mousetrap dead, dead. The reasonable person has no cause, no reason to doubt that Jesus is his Lord and Savior. And so to reject Jesus as the Christ is to step on the spirit-killing trap, a lethal landmine. Landmines don't end pleasantly, do they? They end in death, and in this case, damnation. Jesus is saying, blessed is the one whose faith is not utterly, totally, entirely destroyed by rejecting me. Blessed is the one who can rejoice in the midst of suffering, as Paul will teach us to do over and over through his writings. when you bear your cross, when you get that diagnosis, when things aren't going well, whatever they may be, you can rejoice because Jesus is the Messiah. Blessed is the one who isn't scandalized by Jesus' ministry, but believes in him as his Savior. What a thought. And that's exactly why we focus on it today for this third Sunday in Advent. Because this is the season of Advent's day for rejoicing. And indeed, each and every one of us has reason to rejoice if you're not scandalized by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you listen to Jesus' words, if you hear the gospel message that he is your Savior, come into this world to save you from your sinful self, to save you from Satan, to save you from eternal death. Christ crucified for your sins. If you believe that, you have every reason to rejoice today and every day because you will live forever with Christ and all the faithful in paradise because the story doesn't end on the cross. 3 days later, on the third day, he gets up. And so will you as those who are baptized into his life, death, and resurrection. You are truly blessed because you believe in Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior. Yes, he died for the whole world, but don't forget, he died for you too. You have heard God's word, and you have let your reasonableness be made known to everyone, saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. He was crucified for me, and on the third day, resurrected for me. He forgave my iniquity, the ones I can count in my heart, and all the sins I can't even think of. He forgave them all, mine. He has covered all my sin. He was born of a virgin, miraculously, and he grew up to keep God's law on my behalf, to die on the cross and be resurrected miraculously, to show favor to me. He has restored me. I'm blessed. He revived me from death. That is how you should think upon Jesus. It is very personal. And so do you see, when you think of it this way, do you see the mechanics, the inner workings of the scandalizo snare, the mechanics of that landmine of the Lord, how it becomes a trap to those who do not believe in him. It's not a landmine. It's not a trap. If you see the landmine and you walk by it, it's just a chunk of metal, right? Step on it, it changes the whole story. You were once dead in sin, but because Jesus, you've been revived to life everlasting. Blessed. Not scandalized. The scandalized reject their revivification. They step on that landmine, knowing better. That's where the trigger is in the trap. To the person who hears Jesus' gospel, who reads about his love and his mercy, his divine powers that verify he is who he says he is, which were made known when he gave people sight, when he restored the cripple to his ability to walk, when he cured the diseased, restored hearing to the deaf, raised the dead, and preached the good news of salvation to the poor. To the person who learns all that about Jesus and still doubts that he is the Christ, though there is eyewitness, verifiable historic testimony to these things, is still offended by Jesus? That person, like the mouse I mentioned earlier, if he doesn't amend his response to Jesus will know the permanent eternal death of Jesus, the trap of Jesus, of rejecting Jesus. The scandalous offense Jesus warns us about is the offense of unbelief. The scandal of not believing he is the Christ and therefore stepping before the judgment seat of God with sins not yet atoned for. Capital crimes not yet punished. But this is not you. And so you rejoice. This is not the Christian, not the baptized believer. You rejoice because you know your iniquity has already been pardoned. Blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus, but lays claim to him. His death is my death. Those are my sins he died for. He is my penal substitutionary atonement. How's that for some big words for you today? He is your substitute in the prison system, the penal system. That means you get to walk free because all of your sins have already been paid for. Blessed is the person who does not reject Jesus as his Savior, his stand-in when he's called before God, who will, as St. Paul wrote in our epistle this morning, judge his life and bring light to things now hidden in darkness, disclosing the purposes of the heart. Blessed are you, because when your court date arrives and you stand before the Almighty Judge, there will be nothing to scandalize God. You will not be an offense to your Maker, your Judge. No offense will keep you from entering his kingdom because they've already been paid for. Blessed are you who rejoice in your belief in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all hearts and minds, all understanding, bring peace to your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.